Let's read together Psalms 53 and 54. In Psalm 53, David longs for the establishment of God's kingdom and the elimination of evildoers. And in Psalm 54, David is confident of God's deliverance and the elimination of persecutors. Let's begin by reading Psalm 53. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them has turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? There they are in great fear, where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad." Let's consider a couple of background notes for Psalm 53. If Psalm 53 sounds familiar, it is because it is almost identical to Psalm 14, which we have already studied. When the two Psalms are compared, we find that they are practically the same, except for verses 5 and 6 in Psalm 14 compared to verse 5 in Psalm 53. I'm reading Psalm 14, verses 5 and 6. "There they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge." And from Psalm 53, verse 5. "There they are in great fear, where no fear was, for God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them." Now, there is one other difference between the two Psalms, and it may be quite significant. It has to do with the two names of God that are used, Elohim and Yahweh. In the seven times that the name of God is used in these Psalms, in Psalm 14, Yahweh is used four times and Elohim is used three times. Whereas here in Psalm 53, Elohim is used all seven times. So what is the difference? Yahweh, which is translated Jehovah or Lord, all capitals, is the name for God who keeps his covenant with his people. Elohim is the name of God, meaning Almighty Sovereign God who created and sustains and governs the universe. The fool, who is not necessarily stupid, can deny God in either or both aspects of these two names for God. Some deny the existence of God altogether. Some may admit the existence of a supreme being, but they deny the personal and moral God of the Bible. Let's move down to our doctrinal point for Psalm 53. God will remove sinners and establish his kingdom. God will remove sinners and establish his kingdom. The Apostle Paul quoted verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 53 in Romans chapter 3. I'm reading Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Now, the reason the Apostle Paul quoted these verses from Psalm 53 was to show that all the world is guilty and falls short of God's moral standards, including even so-called good people. There are no good people when compared with God's standards of perfection. In verse 4 of Psalm 53, we see that David was amazed at how ignorant and callous and godless sinners could be. Verse 4 once again, "Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon God?" But we see in verse 5 that the tables will be turned in the future. Verse 5, "There they are in great fear, where no fear was, for God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them." This future judgment is so certain that it is seen as already taken place. The wicked will experience great terror and shame. And it looks like God's people will be involved in the victory. Now, when will this be? Certainly at the final judgment, all sinners will be removed. But verses 5 and 6 here indicate that it will begin when the Lord restores his people Israel and when he returns to Zion to establish his earthly kingdom. Then he removes all those who have been against his people. Verse 6 once again. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When God brings back the captivity of his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. God will remove sinners and establish his kingdom. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 53? Remember, we live in glass houses. Remember, we live in glass houses. Verse 2, God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. God sees all activities of every person. Some people think that as long as no one sees what they are doing, then somehow God doesn't see. They forget that we live in glass houses as far as God is concerned. Even some Christians operate on the basis that God doesn't see what's going on behind closed doors. Listen, God sees all, and he sees motives as well. God sees and knows everything. Remember, we live in glass houses. Let's continue reading Psalm 54. Psalm 54, beginning with verse 1. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen against me, and oppressors or violent men have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eyes have seen its desire upon my enemies. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 54. We see from the title of this psalm that the occasion was when the Ziphites went to King Saul and betrayed David by giving away his hiding place. Let's read the account in 1 Samuel chapter 23. I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 23, beginning with verse 14. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. And now beginning with verse 19. Then the Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, Is David not hiding with us in strongholds in the woods, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. And Saul said, Blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure, and see the place where his hideout is, and who has seen him there, for I am told he is very crafty. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah. So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David. Therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, Hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelt in the strongholds at En Gedi. From 1 Samuel chapter 23. So it was sometime during this crisis that David found time to contemplate and then write this personal lament psalm. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for Psalm 54. God will remove persecutors and deliver his people. God will remove persecutors and deliver his people. In verses 1 through 3, David petitions the Lord for deliverance from the enemy. Verses 1 through 3 once again. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors or violent men have sought after my life. They have not set God before them. Selah. The strangers of verse 3 would be the Ziphites, whom David did not know, and the violent men would be Saul's soldiers, and among them were probably some sharpshooters and brutal strongmen. We see in verses 4 and 5 that David was confident that the Lord would protect him and sustain him. He is also confident that the Lord would deal with his persecutors and eliminate them. Let's read those verses once again, verses 4 and 5. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. Now, David is not calling for personal revenge here. No. He is calling for God's justice. These were evildoers. David was in the right. And the punishment of these persecutors would vindicate David and maintain God's justice. And the Lord will vindicate us as well when we are in the right. We don't have to take our own revenge. The Lord will do it for us. Romans 12:19. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Romans 12:19. In verses 6 and 7 of Psalm 54, David anticipates bringing the peace offering of Leviticus chapter 3 as a thank offering to the Lord when he was free to visit the tabernacle once again. There, David would thank the Lord for delivering him and for bringing all his enemies to justice. Verses 6 and 7 once again. I will freely sacrifice to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble. And my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. God will remove persecutors and deliver his people. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 54? What kind of name do you have? What kind of name do you have? Now, by this question, we don't mean the derivation of your name, or the length of your name, or the meaning of your name, or how common your name is, or how pleasant your name sounds. No, we mean how good is your name. That is, what kind of person stands behind your name. In verse 1, David prayed, save me, O God, by your name. God's name represented all that God was and all that God had done. And the same is true today. Now, what about us? When your name is mentioned, what is the response and reaction from the people who know you? Let's hope it's a positive response. Your name stands for all that you are and all that you do. What kind of name do you have?